Homestead Mills is our sponsor.
Oh, you can get this it for your grandkids, maybe.
Yeah, you either get country blend cereal or wild rice pancakes.
I would like to donate whatever it is to the nearest food box.
Okay.
You got
for, you know, a family in need.
All right, you got it.
Well, we'll see you next Saturday. Thanks for calling.
Yes, you will.
All
and
right.
Thank you. And I will come up and I will say howdy to y'all.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you. I've heard about you and met Book, of course, many times. But, yeah, that would be wonderful.
All right. Well, have a good week and see you then.
All right. Sounds good. Wow.
Unbelievable. You've got three T-shirts.
I know. This is weird. You're the one that usually doodles on our scripts and rundowns. Look at mine for some reason.
Oh my God.
I don't know where it was coming
from.
Is that
love or bugs? Butterflies.
It's something. I don't know. I put hearts everywhere, but they
everywhere.
We're also just turning into something else.
That means
like
something.
This is something.
That means something. I think you want to create T-shirts for a living. You are listening.
My nephew does that in Alaska. Funny.
Well, you got to get him these titles.
Oh, sure. There we go.
You are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of people in the land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and I'm not even going to go there, and events.
Yes.
Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you. We need people like Edith to support this local media. Text the word donate right now to 218-326-1234. Thank you so much.
Weather for today, we're looking at partly sunny skies, highs 73 to 79 across the region with southeast winds around 5. Those calm winds will continue tonight with partly cloudy skies and highs 50 to 57. Some patchy fog early tomorrow, then mostly sunny. Perfect Labor Day weekend with highs in the upper 70s to low 80s with evening temperatures in the low to mid 50s. So campfires with
yes.
a chill and patchy fog early on Sunday. Sunny with highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. We want to wish you a very happy Labor Day weekend and a reminder to get your tickets to Grand Rapids Riverfest next weekend. You can get them at grandrapidsriverfest.com. You can also get them at the door, but it's going to be a quicker thing if you get them online before. grandrapidsriverfest.com. Coming up before 9 o'clock, John's going to tell us about his new dog, Henry. And at 9 o'clock, it's Jennifer Barr for, Headwaters.
Yeah, let's see. What's going on, Heidi, besides Labor Day activities? Friends of the Lake Bemidji State Park have a pancake breakfast tomorrow from 8 to 10 at the park's dining hall. Bring your own plates and utensils to help the environment.
That's right. Coming up on Monday, Happy Dancing Turtle near Pine River invites 4- and 5-year-olds to participate in the Tiny Turtles program this fall. The classes begin on Monday, September 8th. And continue twice a month through November. So coming up, not next Monday, but the week after.
Native American Music and Art Festival is Sunday the 31st from 10 to 5 at the Mille Lacs Lake Indian Museum and Trading Post near Onamia. There will be artists, demonstrations, live music, and food trucks.
We heard from Steve who said, I have mixed feelings about hazelnut coffee. He was hearing Edith with us. On the one hand, it used to be my favorite flavor to drink. But on the other hand, it was pretty much all I drank in the mornings at Panera Bread during a particularly frustrating and depressing job hunting period of my life 20 years ago.
Huh.
Good to hear
from
you.
So have you, Heidi, have you tried it? Ever tried it?
Oh, yeah. I used to drink it. And it's also brings back not a terrible time, but an uncomfortable time, I would say.
In your life?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
so
I'm not a big
an emotional
flavor person. Yeah, don't make me cry there.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about something going on in Deerwood for you to tell us more about at Ripple River Gallery. They are hosting the dual exhibit Reclaimed, Reframed, and that's going on through the month of September. There are sculptures from KEXE's own John Bauer paired with photographs from Rachel Kane. The exhibit proves that one person's trash is another person's treasure. It's open Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, Sundays 11 to 4.
Yeah. Honored being there. It's a beautiful gallery.
Are there, so I know that you received a lot of materials from Bob, via Amy, who runs Ripple River Gallery.
Her
Will
husband.
That be in the
exhibit? There must be four or five of them that have a wooden base that Bob was unable to finish because of his health, let's put it that way. Mm. And they're just beautiful, and they make the sculptures pop. So it's a wonderful studio, and I encourage everybody to go out and check it out.
Coming up, we're going to have the sports page here on People Powered KAXE. You are always welcome to weigh in. If you have questions you want us to ask the sports guys, just let us know, 218-326-1234. You can text that number, and we'll be talking more about sports. That is coming up.
Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It is time, hard to believe, for another edition of the sports page on KAXE. I'm John Bauer. Kyle Erickson is to my right. Heidi Holton's across the screen. Fred Friedman is he in the loft?
Yeah, I'm at home.
So is Megan Buffington.
That's what I meant. Yep. And I am working on getting Fred here. Got it.
And I see Megan in Nebraska red. I assume that's what it is.
Go Big Red, baby. Big win last night.
They won last night. Very late game.
It was a late game. I know we were listening to it. We were driving home, and I will admit I fell asleep on most of it on those back roads on 6 headed home from Pequot, but I caught the important parts. That's what matters.
And speaking, go ahead.
Highway 6 is not a good road to be falling asleep on at nighttime.
I wasn't driving. I was a passenger.
Good clarification.
I watched the Gophers and the Huskers back to back last night.
And I have to admit the Gophers quarterback is pretty darn good. He had a lot of drop balls, don't you think, Fred?
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed with his receivers.
No.
My transfers. But he played, I mean, for a redshirt sophomore, he played a redshirt freshman. I'm sorry. Yeah, he played really well. So they got a giveaway, just make money game next week against a school that has not won a game since 2023. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Oof. Who are they playing?
Northwest of somewhere? I don't know.
The East West Chester North Stars?
I don't know. Northwest? I don't know. But I see last week that, that they lost to, I don't know who they lost to. So, but they keep losing. And then it starts serious. They get to make a long flight out to Cal Berkeley the week after that.
So, Fred, how does it work? Kyle, how does it work? Megan, how does it work that these teams they get? Like, how much do the Gophers play Buffalo to come and play? That's kind of how they make money, right?
Yeah, go ahead, Megan.
I want to say, if I'm remembering correctly, and I'm just pulling this out of my brain when I was in school, it's like, can be upwards of a couple $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
Let us come beat on you. It's kind of the name of the game.
Well, Buffalo wasn't that bad. I don't know where we stand, but we have good running backs. We have a tight end that drops the ball a lot, but he sure has a lot of energy. So we'll see when the next week what'd you say? It's the East West Chess North Stars champions, champions of the Southern Division.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind, Kyle?
Fishing.
Oh, well,
that's not really going to grab the broader audience.
No,
although, you know, fall is the best time to fish. Lakes are less crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Fish are feeding up, getting ready for winter. So to everybody out there in KAXE, KBXE land, the best is yet to come here. I have not watched or listened to a Twins game in the month of August.
Oh my gosh.
That is the level of my disenchantment with the Twins franchise under what I think we have to think of as in the bottom three worst owners in the league, right? You got the Pirates, you got the Rockies, yeah. You got the Twins.
That's proud. That's
this is the first time in my life since I can remember things, so going back to like age four, that I've gone a month without consuming any Twins baseball.
That is really bad.
In my life.
That's sad.
Not like you, Kyle.
And it's not. It's kind of depressing, but the kind of the...
You want to lay down while you're talking about this?
The straw that broke the camel's back was circulation of a rumor that the Twins have done nothing to debunk, that in addition to the bloodletting around the trade deadline, they're going to cut another $30 million from the payroll next year.
What?
And
is this true, Megan?
Apparently, we're going back to
the
mid to late 90s years where they did not even make an effort to put a competitive product on the field.
Well, here's what's not a rumor. They got Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, furious at the Pohlad brothers.
Really?
For lying to him, saying, well, yeah, we got an owner. We're all set. You know, we're finishing up the deal. And I would not anger the commissioner. And then people say, well, we'll get an early draft choice. Well, we've tossed away early draft choices. That doesn't mean.
Yeah.
Hey, here's some real depressing news, Megan. The morning St. Paul Pioneer Press reports, it's going to ruin your day, that the university paid the University of Buffalo $1.45 million.
Yeah, I thought it was more than
that. Yeah, it's only continued to go up, I'm sure.
Oh, Kyle, I am.
How those small schools probably keep their programs afloat.
Yeah, that's
it,
true.
It is, yeah.
Parasitic relationship, yeah.
Yeah, just you got to pay to get crushed.
We got people listening to this show right now in KAXE land whose children have major school debts. And we're looking at going up. At a public school, by the way, you got a major school debt. And we're paying
$1.45 million. Wow. Well, Megan, you got the stage, man. Monday night, Vikings play the Chicago Bears. Have you know what you're going to be doing, where you're going to be at?
Popping my booty down on the couch and not moving for 3 hours is probably the plan.
Guys, isn't that a week from Monday?
Oh, maybe it is. No. Is it?
Yeah, week from Monday. Yeah.
So the NFL doesn't start this weekend?
It starts next Thursday.
Oh, next Thursday.
Week from yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry. So how do you feeling about the Vikings? They kept Rosmer, who's looked pretty darn good.
Kept Rosmer, traded for Adam Thielen, which I'm surprised we didn't lead with.
Yeah.
That's not the weirdest trade they made.
Carson Wentz?
Carson
Wentz. Carson Kamen Wentz.
Who is now playing for his 27th different NFL franchise was kind of an interesting.
We've thrown around Carson Wentz because I was not happy with our backup situation heading into the season. That was kind of the name that we'd floated around in our house about who we'd like to sign as a backup. So I have no qualms about that. I don't know. Sam Howell is, a third-year quarterback who stinks?
Sam Howell is not with the Vikings anymore, is he?
He's gone.
No,
they got rid of him.
Yeah. But he was poised to be the backup, what I'm saying. And I would like to have a veteran in the room, which we didn't really have with so many young quarterbacks. And say what you will about Carson Wentz, but at least he offers a veteran presence. And I'm sure he has some nuggets of wisdom to share.
What about Rippon? Was Rippon the son of the Rippon that played for Washington?
Mark Rippon. Yeah.
Mark Rippon? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, they're uncle-nephew.
Uncle-nephew.
Okay. I'd say not only did Brosmer outplay Howell in the preseason, there are stretches where Brosmer looked better than what little we saw of McCarthy.
Yeah.
I have gone on record before as saying I have not seen much from McCarthy that makes me feel like he's going to be a star in the league or the guy they want to build around.
He's the captain. They voted him captain.
I would love to be wrong about that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback, and I hope he proves me wrong.
But you've seen so little of him.
Yeah. You haven't been.
But watch him in college too, and he didn't look like an NFL quarterback. He handed the ball off 27 times a game and, you know, threw screen passes.
Maybe it's like the Brosmer. I mean, Brosmer has been playing college football. Now he gets where he has A-level, you know, receivers, and, you know, maybe that stuff just all works out. I don't know.
You know, only in football would we be talking about the third string quarterback, Brosmer. One of us.
We're talking about because he's a golfer. That's and the only reason.
And the second string quarterback, you know, Wentz, who's vaguely from the upper Midwest. He's a Bismarck, North Dakota native. But I'm more concerned about an injury to a kid whose dad lives literally right down the street from me, CJ Ham.
Yeah, he's been hurt.
Which will hurt special teams, him not being out there. He's their natural leader, and he has to sit at least four games with, I love these expressions, undisclosed injuries.
Yeah. Hey, Megan, let's go back to Thielen. I mean, I'm pretty excited to get Thielen. He's going to be a great he's going to fill in and do a wonderful job. And, you know, I don't know who goes after her. You know, Addison comes. It's Addison, right, who's on the suspension?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to think Thielen's going to be there. I'm very excited.
He's likely going to start, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's still fairly young. He's, what, 35? But
well, that's fairly young in human terms. That's not fairly young in NFL terms.
Not, I know.
He's not going to go.
I think he's great, and I should point out he's also a northern Minnesotan from
Detroit Lakes.
D.L.
He'll be a great he'll be a great possession receiver. He won't be going down deep, but I think it's a valuable addition. And
he's practiced with JJ because all the Minnesota NFL players practice together every year. So
and
he's got some time with JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, with Jalen Naylor having a bad hand. They hope he'll be ready for week one, but he had a surgical procedure a little while ago to clean up a hand issue. So it's good to have a veteran presence. Mm-hmm. And
hey,
while we're on the NFL, there's a big hubbub about our neighbors to the east there.
Oh yeah,
that I'm not feeling too happy about.
Yeah, they signed a pretty good player.
Pretty good player. Yeah, Packers traded for Micah Parsons, gave up two firsts. I'm happy to see the Packers give up two firsts, but
they definitely are in win now mode. They feel like
which is surprising with the roster they have.
Yeah, I was kind of puzzled. I mean, if you can get an elite defensive talent, you get it. But I didn't feel like that roster was one move away from hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. So we'll see.
I think I will say this: if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, which none of us are, this was a very bad move. This is Jerry Jones's motion, who gets way too much publicity than all other owners combined. And he just had a pout because he couldn't work this out with Parsons' agent. But if you're a Dallas fan, this is a bad way to start the season.
For sure.
Yeah.
Heidi, you're
just... The Lynx played kind of a weird game.
Last night was not
my good. Gosh.
I only saw the fourth quarter, so I didn't see when they were 21 points ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I think this is going to happen to them before we get into playoffs, where they're a little too confident at the moment, and they're playing too much, you know? And so they were not expected to lose to Seattle by any means, and they did last night. It was
93 to 79 or something?
Yeah.
After being up by 20?
21,
That's pretty rough.
Gosh. I was also going to say, we did get a text come in. I wish our DJ Dang was joining us, or Chris, because this has to do with soccer, and I know you guys love the soccer. Maury is texting in. He says, what are you sports fans thinking about Minnesota United selling their young star, Tani Oluwasi, to a Spanish club in La Liga, one of the top leagues in the world? The Loons have a strong competitive season, just to update. Playoffs likely again this year, and in semifinals of the U.S. Cup. Come on, you Loons.
Without knowing anything else, I don't love selling a young player.
Yeah.
But
is this an outright, like, sold the rights, or is this sometimes football clubs will do loans of players, whether it be cash exchange, they get the player back.
Soccer.
I don't know. Soccer is so confusing. Yeah.
The next soccer I watch will definitely be when the fourth season of Ted Lasso comes out. Yeah. So I am not your go-to source on this.
But I'm going to put it out to DJ Dang right now. If you want to call in, we will have you explain what's going on right now. And I don't need to give you the number, Dang. So call and join us this morning.
Dang.
I'm going to say the Lynx do play two more times this weekend. They're going to be in Connecticut tomorrow night. And Connecticut's is 10-28. We're still 30-8, still much higher than anybody else in the league. And then Monday night, they're back to the Target Center to what it will probably be a sold-out game because it's the Dallas Wings they'll be playing. Paige Becker's coming home. So should be a lot of fun.
So did anybody see Kyle Schwarber hit like four rockets last night? Home runs.
Bombs.
I saw the replay.
He just crushes them.
He is definitely a goal for a home run guy, you know.
He's clutch, too. He's definitely clutch.
He is clutch. He's a kid out of Indiana University. He did go to college, you know, and all that. And he's only his 21st time it happened in baseball history. It's happened twice this year at least.
So when I think of that, I'm just thinking to myself, we have not done a lot of complaining about strike zones this year. Is it just my imagination? Are we just getting used to it so we don't pay that much attention to it?
I think we've just had so much to complain about, it hasn't had time to come up.
and Angel Hernandez is no longer employed by Major League Baseball. There are others out there, Laz Diaz and a couple other notables that are just as bad as Hernandez. But we've had bigger fish to fry this year with the Twins implosion.
So So is the strike zone coming in next year in Major League Baseball that you can?
They have not committed to launching it next year. I don't. At minimum, I don't understand why they wouldn't use the appeal system
that
AAA
seconds.
Uses. We've talked about it. It's very quick. It's simple. You get it right 100% of the time, and it can change the game. I had shared with you a while ago, John, the number of home runs that were hit after a missed third strike call, and it was hundreds. Like, it was not a small number. Bad umpiring is affecting the outcome of baseball games.
If Fred, does this have anything to do with maybe in Major League Baseball, the umpires union? Are the umpires for this?
No, I'm sure they're against it. And yes, the umpires union has a lot to say. But it's hurting the game, especially when it matters late in the game or tying or winning run on base. It's a bad look. And of course, this TV camera work gets better and better and better. And these center field cameras get better and better and better. It makes them look worse and worse and worse, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's, I do get a big kick out of among the batters and the catchers and the pitchers. The pitchers are the worst interpreters of what's a strike and what's a ball.
Yeah. And the catcher's by far the best.
By far.
Yeah. Well,
we just heard back from Maury, who had texted in about the Loons. He said it's not a lone straight sale.
Ooh.
Loons have added players from Austria, Greece, Ecuador to help push toward the MLS championship.
All right. So anything else? I mean, it's kind of sedate season right now. The Twins are not in it. The Lynx are kind of struggling.
They're nuts. But they're the number one team,
John.
They're kind of struggling right now.
They're a juggernaut.
They lost one.
Don't get angry with me. They are struggling right now.
I'll not hear any Lynx slander this morning.
I did see if I could tease Megan that her alma mater, Pequot Lakes, defeated their arch enemy.
They did, Esco, last night. It was not a great game. It was a little bit rough to watch. That's what we were in town for. Or we're in town anyway. But, yeah, it was a little bit sloppy on both sides. Got some work to do, but came home with a win. That's what matters.
John, sorry to get on you there, if the Twins had the record that the Lynx have right now in this season, you would say they had a bad night.
No, I would say they're struggling. The Lynx are struggling right now. They're at the end. They're going through a phase where they're struggling. That's just what happens in every sport.
But they are 30-8.
But what are they in their last six games?
This was the first one they've lost in the last six games.
Okay.
Heidi, here's where you and I completely agree. It's about protecting, getting the best record going into the playoffs.
Right.
That's what it's about.
Right. These games they matter, but they don't really matter at the point they're at right now. They're definitely going to the playoffs.
Oh, that's not what I was trying to say.
I know, but that means so kind of struggling. That's why it hurts me. Do you understand?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sorry to
The Twins are kind of struggling.
None of the other leagues are guaranteed to go to the playoffs yet. I mean, that's how the rest of the teams are.
Okay,
not
I take that. So if we can go back into the soundtrack, could you cut that out, please?
We can edit it out in post production.
Okay. Yeah,
I know. As a little,
it makes some joy.
Megan, was I hard on him? I don't know.
I think your eyes were hard on him.
That was fair. So out of Minnesota's pro sports franchises, we know the Lynx are going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Quick poll.
We know they're the best team we've got.
Do we think the Vikings are going to make the playoffs this year? Yes or no? Start with Megan.
Yeah.
Fred?
It's about faith.
They will. Yes.
John?
Yep.
Heidi?
Don't care.
Absolutely not. I think they're a 7-10 team, and it's going to be a hard season to watch. There's my prediction.
Did you sleep in your car last night?
No, this is, it doesn't matter how good receivers you have if you don't have a quarterback that can make reads and throw the ball.
You are anti-Michigan. This guy could be the MVP.
I just don't. If J.J. McCarthy is the league MVP this year, I will eat a toad live on air. That would be the craziest thing. So, Wild, will they continue their string of first-round playoff exits and run it to 10 years in a row?
Speaking of the Wild, we did re-sign Marco Rossi, 3-year, $15 million deal, so we got him back on the roster, our drama king. Glad to have him.
Why do you have to ask this?
I'm voting yes. They will continue their streak of first-round playoff
exits. I agree.
Probably.
And what's the ceiling for our Minnesota Timberwolves this year?
Oh, gosh, too early to talk about that.
Two straight Western Conference championships.
Who have they added? Who have they added? Who's new? Nobody?
I don't think
they got some time.
Yeah.
I think it's safe that they'll make the playoffs. It's what will they do with it this year?
Let's go back to McCarthy. So he's a rookie. And the team voted him the captain. So we're not at practices. I got to think that a guy like that who didn't play last year and he's going to be the captain based on voting by his teammates, he must be a stud at least in practice. But practice isn't a regular season game.
Yeah.
And what are you going to eat if he does win the MVP? Like a toad maybe or something?
Yeah, a toad.
No, whole chicken pot pie.
Sports media is it's not interesting if there's no tension. We can't all just have the same view.
Cheshire cat grin going here.
Stir the pot a little bit.
Yeah. So we have trivia?
We do. Scott is texting me trivia, and I added a few. This will be exciting for you, John.
Yeah.
There's a few links.
Are there good links ones in
there? That I have added.
About how they're struggling? This will be tough.
The first question coming from our senior correspondent. She got a triple-double, 22 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists in a win against Indiana last week. On the struggling team, of course.
Is it Collier?
No.
No, it wasn't Collier. Was it Williams?
Nope. It was who was playing for Collier. Jessica Shepherd. Although the next game, I believe it was the next night, she got 0 points.
0 points.
Yeah. But Collier was back. Collier is back in the lineup. Next question. This week, Matt Wallner. Became fourth Minnesota-born Twins player to hit 20 home runs in a single season. Who are the other three?
Kent Herbeck, Dave Winfield.
Dave Winfield.
Herbeck, Morneau, Winfield.
Yep.
Oh, Morneau.
Not Morneau.
No, Morneau wasn't born in Minnesota. Maurer.
Yep, Maurer.
And do you know how many RBIs Wallner has with 20 home runs? I think he has 23 RBIs.
King of the solo homer.
Herbeck, Winfield. Is it Laudner?
No, Maurer.
Maurer.
Yep.
I thought we said him, of course.
Major League Baseball announced this week that the Twins and Phillies will play a regular season game next year at what site?
The Field of Iowa. Dreams. Field of Dreams.
Anybody know the name of the town?
Oh, gosh.
Dyersburg, maybe?
Dyersville.
Dyersville.
Yep.
Dyersville. There's a beautiful church there. We were just talking about that a couple days ago.
So the Minnesota Star Tribune created a list of the top Minnesota high school athletes since 2000. Joe Maurer was number one. Who were numbers two and three?
Paige Beckers.
Yep, Beckers was three.
Who?
Maybe the skier?
Skier. Skylar Diggins?
Jesse Diggins. Skylar Diggins is from the Seattle.
Yeah,
Warm,
very different.
But she's
Diggins.
Not Diggins anymore. She got a divorce. Anyway, so here's my.
Oh, they got divorced?
Mm-hmm. Here's my Minnesota Lynx questions. Who are the two Lynx players that are now known as the Stud Buds?
Courtney Williams.
And the other girl with the pink hair. Woman.
I just saw a picture of him last night, too.
Heinemann.
Yep. What two former Lynx players, I think we've done this before, but are assistant coaches for the Lynx right now?
Oh, that's easy. Lindsay Whalen and Brunson.
Yep. There we go. I think that's it. That's all we've got for this morning.
Couple of days ago, Fred and everybody, there was a announcement, or I saw it on Facebook, of George Palawa, like 40 years or 30 years after he died. And he was a draft pick of the Twins. He was a draft pick in NHL hockey. And I think it was another sport he was. You remember George Palawa?
Fred? Yes.
From Bemidji. Died in a car accident.
I got a trivia question on what we're talking about. Same subject for y'all. Heidi, you'll be interested in this. With that article about the greatest high school athletes in the last 20, 25 years, there's only one person in Minnesota history who went their senior year, all three sports, did not lose a game. Soccer, basketball, softball, her entire senior year. And she was on that list, and she's a northern Minnesota girl, from Moose Lake. Senior year.
Adamczak?
Annie Adamczak.
Yeah, she was something else.
What a run.
Think about that. By the way, where'd she go to college, Megan?
Couldn't tell you.
University of Nebraska.
Good for her. Harvard of the Plains.
Megan's just so proud to be associated with Nebraska.
I wouldn't say that, but I gotta give it as much as I take it.
Isn't red Pequot Lake's color too? So you can kind of just buy lots of red and double up.
Yeah, red, white, and blue.
There you go.
Nice.
That's another edition of the Sports Page. Fred Friedman, Megan Buffington, Kyle Erickson, John Bauer. Thanks, you guys.
See you, folks.
Thank you. Yeah.
Coming up, we've got local news with the Up North Report, and then we get an update on John's new dog.
Oh,
make
boy.
Sure you stay tuned.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. A shooting at a home Thursday in rural Cass Lake resulted in serious injuries for a 40-year-old Cass Lake man. At 2:14 a.m., the Cass County Sheriff's Office received a 911 call at a residence in the Prescott housing area in Wilkinson Township. Deputies and responders arrived at the residence and learned that an unknown man entered the home and shot an occupant before fleeing the scene. The victim was transported to Sanford Health Bemidji with serious injuries. The incident remains under investigation with the assistance of the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. An autopsy of the 59-year-old Cass Lake woman who crashed a pontoon Tuesday in Leech Lake showed she suffered a medical emergency before the crash. The Cass County Sheriff's Office also identified the victim as Teresa K. Ciccini on Thursday. The Sheriff's Office received a report of a boat crashing into the rocks and shoreline near Walker City Park. Responders found Ciccini unresponsive, and she was later pronounced dead after being transported to the Walker Airport. As Minnesotans mourn those killed in Wednesday's mass shooting, public frustration is mounting over the frequency of these attacks in the United States. Local researchers recommend a comprehensive and compassionate way of spotting warning signs and responding to them. The deadly attack on students at a Minneapolis Catholic school has again brought gun violence back into the spotlight. At Minnesota's Hamline University, James Densley is with the Violence Prevention Project Research Center. His team's recent findings say those who carry out school shootings are often in a noticeable crisis, meaning students, staff, and parents should be trained to recognize concerning behavior and how to report it.
So a lot of this is really around communication, that people trust in the systems that are going to get people off of that pathway to violence so that they don't go looking for answers in the darkest corners of the internet.
He says speaking up shouldn't lead to punishment for the person in question, but rather accessible and affordable forms of care. The center also says mass shooters have significant trauma histories, and researchers recommend a more thorough screening of childhood trauma as kids grow up. Densley acknowledges challenges such as peers not wanting to be seen as snitches for reporting someone. Densley says they've interviewed people who've carried out mass shootings, along with those who had their attack plans thwarted. For situations where a tragedy was avoided, he says there was a common factor that served as a blockade.
Many times it was a human intervention. It was an act of kindness that gave them hope and a reason to live. Time and time again, it was that human connection that really made the difference.
As for warning signs in someone they know, he says people should be mindful of dramatic changes in behavior that include aggression or an unexpected flurry of social media posts centered around grievances. Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for this story. An Itasca County voter fraud case may head to a jury trial in October after a judge rejected the defendant's guilty plea on Monday. Megan Buffington has more.
40-year-old Danielle Miller of rural Nashwauk was charged with three felony counts of absentee voter fraud last October. She allegedly attempted to vote for Donald Trump on behalf of her dead mother. Miller initially pleaded not guilty, but petitioned to enter a guilty plea last week. She would have pleaded guilty to one of the three counts, with the other two dismissed as part of the plea deal. Miller would have received 3 years of supervised probation, in addition to several other requirements, including reading a book about voting in America and writing a 10-page paper on, quote, the importance of voting in a democracy and how election fraud can undermine the voting process. A judge rejected Miller's plea at her hearing Monday. Itasca County Attorney Jacob Botchold says Miller told the judge she was intoxicated and that her sister mailed the ballots, which he says is not what the investigation suggests. Minnesota statute requires defendants to state the factual basis of their plea before a judge can accept it to ensure the defendant knows what they are pleading guilty to. A jury trial is scheduled for October 20th, but Fotold expects another attempt at a guilty plea to take place sooner. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
We would like to thank our business supporters of KAXE, and that includes Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital, home to an experienced OBGYN team that provides comprehensive women's health services, including maternity and advanced gynecology care, all in Grand Rapids.
We received support from the 17th annual Community Connect Thursday, September 18th from 11 to 3 at the Yanmar Arena in Grand Rapids, featuring over 50 social service agencies providing information on housing, energy, county assistance, and more. All are welcome. More information by calling 211. Also want to thank Clockall Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, making traditional old world styles of beer as well as modern classics for 7 years now. Their tap room is open Monday through Saturday, noon to 8, Sundays from noon to 6. ClockoBrewing.com.
I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer, and I've requested that Kyle Erickson stay in the studio with us because I am not going to be a Fonzie. I've just decided in the last 30 seconds. I'm going to apologize here, but I want Kyle to be kind of the mediator. You can tell we're sort of off the rails here in what just happened on the sports page. Where do we begin? I need to say
So John offered a thought about the Lynx struggling somewhat, and Heidi offered a counterpoint about, you know, the best record in the league. I imagine the favorite to, we didn't say this, but they're probably the favorite to win the title right now, etc. There was off air, there was a little data gathering done, and we learned that the Lynx are 2-3 in their last five games. So I think each camp has some of the right here. I agree with Heidi that there's a little blip. Doesn't mean the team is struggling. They've had to change some player rotations. They're getting Nafisa Collier back up to speed after an extended injury absence. So I don't think it's like there's cracks in the foundation and they're on the struggle bus heading into the playoffs. But in fairness to John, 2-3 in the last five games, three losses is one short of half of their losses for the entire season.
Yes.
So I think it's fair to say that they are not performing as well as they would like.
I agree with that. And I'm sorry, John, I jumped on you. Here's here's what happens. Every week I hear you guys talking about the Twins and how difficult their season is and usually is. And then you talk about the Vikings, you talk about other things, and you have faith and you have hope, and there's uplifting even when the teams aren't winning. And so it just felt like,
well, there's no hope of the Twins.
Still talk about it a long time.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it felt like. You were just shutting down on the Lynx because they're struggling.
I think you also have to remember that I coached women's basketball for 18 years, and I understand what struggling is. I understand what losing players is. I know what it's like to get people back, to get in performance. But when you lose three of your last five games, they're struggling. They're not struggling the whole year. They're struggling right now. Maybe I should have said struggling right now. Yeah. That would have been.
I took it as the whole season.
No.
So.
They're the best team. They're going to win. They're going to win it. I never would have
said that.
Don't
say that out loud. This is
what public media should be, right? Like we care about facts. We admit when we get something wrong.
Thank you.
We move ahead.
Thank you. I got it wrong. Yes.
And I will repeat once more what I've said so many times on air, that I am so thankful that we have one consistently well-run, successful professional sports franchise. So thank God for the Minnesota Lynx, and I do hope they get another title this year.
And they also have a new CEO. The Timberwolves and the Lynx have a new CEO. Laura and them hired this guy for the Florida Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
And so he must be a big hitter. So I don't know if that means more money for the Lynx or whatever, but that's another little tidbit we forgot to mention.
I didn't realize, because I am very new to any sport, let alone women's basketball, the W. But when the Lynx also, along with, you know, they've won four titles, they've been to the final six times, but they also hold the distinction of having the worst single game record at one point. And I wasn't watching it then.
What's the worst single game? I don't know what you mean.
That's what it said on the internet. Worst single, because they started in 99. They...
Oh, the worst record for a single season?
Yes.
No, that's okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to take
best of times, worst of times.
Yeah. It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
And they're going to finish with a title.
They're going to be hoisting it up. And who are they going to play, though?
Liberty's not doing well.
I know.
Liberty's struggling, but I think they'll be there in the end. And who was it I saw had been playing a lot better lately? Las Vegas?
Atlanta Dream's been playing
good.
Well.
Yeah. Vegas is playing good.
Yeah.
And Seattle beat them last night, but I don't think they're going. I don't think LA is doing very well. They're playing Connecticut tomorrow.
They're the best
Chicago,
by far.
Chicago's done some surprising wins, too. So
they're going to win it. There's no doubt about it.
Bring it home.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. Right. We appreciate it.
Thanks for that mediation session. How much do we owe you?
I'll bill you later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Invoices in the mail.
How about a Canasta tournament as the...
Let's make it happen.
All right. You are listening to the Friday Morning Show. Coming up, some stories from John.
Dreams are nothing more than wishes, and a wish is just a dream. Wish to come true. If only I could have a puppet, I'd call myself so very lucky, just to have some company, to share a cup of tea with me. I'd take my puppy everywhere, la la la. Stay away.
I heard DJ Ironside's playing this song the other day as he had a little set on dogs and puppies. That's Harry Nilsson with the puppy song.
Harry Nilsson?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Kind of a fun song.
More than wishes, and a wish is just a dream you wish to come true. Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right, it is 8:44. We got a text earlier this morning from Laura. And Laura said, has John given a new dog update yet?
Well, you're about to get one.
All right.
We got a new corgi. But I need to set the story. So my wife, Sonia, felt that our dog, Jojo, who is the best dog I've ever had in my life, and I'm 67 years old and had a dog every year in my life, felt that our dog, Jojo, needed a companion, someone to play with. Other than me and her. So we went down to Rochester and found this dog and brought Jojo down, introduced him. They got along, a little fighting, and they got along. And then we went home and the dog had to get neutered. And now we have the dog. And I need to say that the relationship with Jojo and this other dog are amazing. They play, they roughhouse it, they chase each other like five times a day. Which brings you great joy. You're just standing there laughing, watching him. Jojo grabs her tail, pulls her down, rumbles over her, overpowers her, yet the little dog's great. But here's the deal. We got the dog, I've said this before, we got the dog I don't know what you say, dog breeder or dog?
Yeah.
They show dogs, all right?
Oh,
they
okay.
show dogs.
Yeah.
So they do breed them. And I feel like we've rescued this dog because show dogs don't necessarily lead a great life. They are pampered, but they also live in little cages, and they have their walking areas like 20 feet by 20 feet where they can walk around and get some socializing. I feel like we've rescued this dog because I think the dog does have a few problems. One is the other day, Sonia was taking him for a walk on the Taconite Trail, and somebody came up on a bike. And the dog freaked out, pooped, and almost ran into the woods. Sonia had to, like, tackle this dog. So the dog does not used to necessarily other people.
Mm-hmm.
Trees laying across the road, like across the trail, approaching a tree, dogs jump over it. This dog didn't know what to do. So I feel they lead a sheltered life, and they do. But this dog also, when we went for walks and when we initially got it a week ago, would be right by your side. Now it's 40 feet away walking out in the open. So everything's going good, but I think the dog is one, and I think the dog has anxiety because it hasn't really been exposed to freedom. That's kind of weird to say.
So since you have such experience with dogs, do you think that's going to change, or does it kind of stick with them?
Well, if it doesn't change, we're going to have to give the dog back. But that's not going to happen.
Okay.
The dog, it's a year old, and it's just, like I said, it's led a sheltered life. Now it's exposed to everything wonderful,
okay.
And it doesn't quite know what's going on.
Sure.
It's a great dog. No, it cuddles last night. It jumps on the couch, smothers me, wagging all over.
Okay.
But it has anxiety, and I would, too, if I lived in a kennel for my first year of my life.
Yeah.
I'm not bad-mouthing show dogs. I'm just saying it's kind of the truth. When they go to a show, they pull up in their trailer and they put up a wire fence that's probably 20 foot square, and that's where the dogs live. And I think that you can rescue a dog from a shelter, and I think we rescued a dog from a breeder.
Yeah.
So he's fantastic. Henry.
And
his name was Grady.
Oh.
But we didn't like Grady as a dog. A dog has to have a two-syllable name, so we changed it to Henry, and he already knows his name.
Grady's two syllables.
Yeah, I know, but that's a bad name.
Okay.
For a dog. I mean, Grady, come in, you know, Henry.
Hmm.
So he knows his name. He's very smart. He's
going
to be fine. I shouldn't have said we're going to bring him back. But the owners need to know how the dog is responding.
And Jojo's happy with Henry?
Oh, my gosh. Jojo will eat, and this dog, Jojo's a slow eater. This dog will come over and put his nose in Jojo's dish as she's eating. Doesn't even growl.
Oh, wow.
Jojo is a saint.
Wow.
There you go. That's the Henry report for the day.
There we go. Laura, I hope that was what you were looking for. You can text us anytime at 218-326-1234. Up next, we've got that story about how a high school in Wichita, Kansas didn't have enough players to field the football team and the beer man for the Baltimore Orioles.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Fadel.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. A high school in Kansas is trading in the typical Friday night lights for something different this year. NPR's Ben Abrams has the story.
This is what Wichita Independent High School's football field used to sound like on Friday nights. But this year, Panther Field will sound much different. After the end of the 2024 football season, the school realized they had a problem.
We started looking at how many players we might actually be able to field, and it became increasingly obvious that we were not going to be able to have enough to have a team.
That's Paul Drzezinski, the head of Wichita Independent School. And they needed at least 15 to 20 students for this season, but not enough of them signed up.
It was a very sad decision to have to make. And we were really worried about what will it do to morale? What will it do to the life of the high school?
Wichita Independent is a K-12 school with less than 400 students, and only 76 of them are in high school. For senior class president Jack Rowe, it was about much more than losing any game.
As a senior, football, Friday night lights, it's a major part of any school year. The senior class has a lot of band members and a lot of cheerleaders. And without football, they wouldn't have anything to do this fall.
Rowe worked with junior class president Ben Sackett to find a way to fill those Friday nights.
It was kind of immediately just like, how can we preserve all of these great things about football, even if it can't be actual football?
And Panther Night Lights was born. Instead of football games every week, the school will host a series of games and activities for students, faculty, and the community to participate in.
Things like slip and slide kickball, for example, which I think are not only fun to play, but are going to be really funny and entertaining to watch, are going to be some of the best activities we can possibly have.
Wichita Independent School's situation is not unique. A 2024 report from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says the number of school-age kids playing sports dropped by roughly 5% between 2017 and 2022. The report says barriers to kids playing sports include time constraints and social pressure. For rural communities in particular, the decline has to do with access to facilities, programs, and opportunities, says David Jevoltowski with the University of Nebraska College of Public Health.
The rural issue versus urban issue really is more subtle in the sense of what does that community offer? What are the opportunities? And then given those opportunities, is there incentives for kids to participate or not?
In the last few years, Jevoltowski observed a trend in rural communities where sports are really an option only for kids whose families can afford it in money and time.
But your typical child who just wants to participate for recreation reasons is probably not getting the opportunities or the pathway to get more involved.
Back at Wichita Independent School, Jack Rose says he's ecstatic that Panther Night Lights will be available to everyone.
I think what I'm most excited for is the opportunity for these kids that aren't really the best at like big sports like football or basketball to be able to go under the Panther Night Lights and compete in a friendly and competitive way, and the opportunity and joy that it'll bring them.
Rose says he's excited to make new, different memories under the Friday Night Lights. Ben Abrams, NPR News.
Time now for StoryCorps. For 50 years, this voice has been a constant at Baltimore Orioles home games.
Beer man, you might need a brew. Hey, beer man, you might need a beer.
Clarence Haskett, also known as Fancy Clancy, has been a vendor at Orioles games since 1974. Haskett came to StoryCorps with fellow beer vendor Jerry Collier to remember how it all began.
My very first day, I was still in high school, and I don't know why I remember this, but I made $8.25.
I met you probably the second day of my new job where I was a beer vendor when I was 19 years old, and you just crushed it. When I looked around the ballpark, there was this ray of sunshine everywhere you look, a guy who outworked people, who outloved all the customers more than anybody else. And I said, that's who I want to be like.
But see, I had little secrets, though. I used to move quicker than a lot of the other vendors because I was a sprinter in college. And another thing, you know, I had the gift of gab, and I used to do rhymes, so that helped me out.
Give me one of your rhymes.
Well, back in the old days, I used to use this one a lot. Hey, empty your pockets, put your money in your hand, because here's Clancy, your beer man. So, you know, I used to do little things like that. And all the vendors that we worked with, all of us had some type of a personality for doing something.
And if you go into the stadium and you're number one, you have incredible pressure to be a selling machine.
The way that I look at my job as a vendor, my mindset is I'm a professional athlete. I have to stay in shape. I have to train during the off season because vendors running around with straps around their neck, that's only on television commercials. Good vendors pick up their case and they carry it.
It's consuming.
Yeah.
It's in your soul. Put it this way. Both of us, when it came to our wedding, how did we plan our wedding?
Around the Oreo
skin.
We're
out of town.
Yep.
You know, Clancy, you epitomize to me and so many people all that's right in the world. If it's a rain out at the Oreo game and you only sell two cases of beer, in the big scheme of life, that's not a problem. And I think that's more than the rhymes and all the rest. You're larger than life in a lot of ways.
I can always go somewhere and get a free beer from somebody. I can go in a restaurant or a bar that I've never been in before. It's always somebody knew who I was. So I definitely shake a lot of hands. And as long as I'm still healthy, I know I got another good 10 years.
Clarence Haskett with his friend and fellow beer vendor Jerry Collier in Baltimore. Fancy Clancy is working his 51st season with the Orioles. Their interview will be archived at the Library of Congress.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from Subaru, who, along with its retailers, is partnering with AdoptAClassroom.org to provide funding to high-need schools and local communities for the Subaru Loves Learning Initiative. Subaru, more than a car company. And from Dignity Memorial, for many families, remembering loved ones means honoring the details that made them unique. Dignity Memorial is dedicated to compassion in every detail of a life celebration. DignityMemorial.com.
This is NPR News.
Margo Price, she's coming to next weekend's Grand Rapids River Fest. You can get your tickets now at grandrapidsriverfest.com. We've got Jeremy Albino coming. Alan Sparhawk will open up the day, and there's a great interview with him available at our website right now, kaxe.org. Also an interview with Jeremy Albino, and then Margo and Courtney Barnett. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. 9 o'clock, we've got Headwaters. Jennifer Barr is going to be your host. Then it's Minnesota Mixtape.
Want to thank the Pines Restaurant in downtown Grand Rapids hosting a late-night patio party until 1 a.m. immediately following Riverfest, featuring Asian street food, handcrafted cocktails, and more. Restaurant information available at thepinesmn.com. It's going to be partly sunny today. Pretty cloudy right now. High 73 to 79. Light southeast winds. Tonight, partly cloudy with highs 50 to 57. Saturday, patchy fog early, then mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. Evening temps in the low to mid 50s. And then looking way ahead to Sunday, patchy fog early, sunny with highs in the upper 70s to low 80s.
John, I have a question for you. First of all, Laura Z says she's so happy it's going so well with the new dog. You said something, so you've had a dog your whole entire life.
Yep, my whole entire life.
Yeah. Would you ever be able to sit down and like name all the dogs you've had?
Oh, yeah. If I took my time. Yeah. First one was Tuffy.
Oh.
And then we had one dog that was just a loser. Yeah, I could name every single one.
Huh.
Every single one.
And all different kinds?
Yep. Golden Retrievers, mainly Basset Hounds, Mutts, Corgis now. Mm. Yeah.